First John this evening, we'll just continue in the book of First John. Let's be upstanding as we read that together. We'll just read the chapter again and we'll continue having a look at the last six verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you for strength and for wisdom, and Lord, just seeking you, Lord, this evening, that your name will be praised. Lord, as we have sung your praises, Lord, I pray that you would help us to now have hearts ready to respond to the word. I pray, Father, that you'd be pleased with our worship and with our response, Lord, today. And we thank you, Father, for the word of God. Lord, how great it is, Lord, to have your word in our hands, to be able to read it, to study it, Lord, to hear it preached. We thank you for it, Father. We wish to honor your word this evening, Father. We know that you've magnified your word even above your name, Lord, and how great is thy name, Father, and how great, therefore, is thy word, Lord God, which is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us through thy truth, Lord. Thy word is truth. And may your people leave this place drawing closer to you, walking in sweet fellowship with thee. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have come to hear your word tonight. I pray that we would all receive a special blessing from the word of God and leave this place more like our Saviour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. This morning we looked at the first four verses concerning our fellowship with the Lord, and we looked at the importance of a fellowship with God and the fruits of fellowship, the joy, the foundation of our fellowship and the fact of fellowship that Christ is real. And we continue on this evening, just continuing from verse number 5 down to verse number 10, and we're going to look at some of the hindrances to our fellowship. Fellowship with God is one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life, yet the Christian can be hindered in their fellowship with God. And we need to understand that, and we need to be aware of that, because we live in a day where there are many possible hindrances to fellowship with God. But there are three things here in this passage, three claims that we can say that can hinder our fellowship with God. Three scenarios that are laid out here that would hinder our fellowship with God. But before we look at that, I want to focus just on verse number 5 to begin. And we're going to see the God of our fellowship in verse number 5. The God of our fellowship. I think this is important to understand. Our fellowship is, yes, with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But John begins in verse number 5 saying, then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John begins now with a declaration of God and who he is. Basically saying that the God in whom we fellowship with, we need to know something about him, that he is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When we think of light, and we study, I guess, light throughout the scripture in relation to God, in a physical sense, the light of God reflects his glory and reflects his majesty. I mean, it was Saul of Tarsus that was confronted with the light of God, as it were, and the glory of God appeared unto him in the face of Jesus Christ, as we know even in the gospel. That it's the light of the glorious gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ that shines unto us. But in Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 2 it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and the gross darkness of the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And that God's light is, in a physical sense, is his glory. And we see his glory, we see his light. And this is in a physical sense in relation to that. I guess more intellectually, light can be referred to as directive. Light is directive. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when we think of the light, we think of the light as giving us direction and giving us clarity that we might see forward and see through. Thy entrance of thy word giveth light. And that's talking about giving us direction and guidance. And God's light has a guiding sense to it also when we see that God is light. But more specifically in this passage, I believe John is referring more to the moral sense of light, in which God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And morally, God is light, basically saying that God is righteousness, God is holiness, God is purity. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light. So what's darkness there is evil, and light there is a person that which is good and that which is holy and that which is righteous. We know that light is an expression of purity and holiness and righteousness. And when God is light, we need to understand that he is holy, that he is righteous, and that in him is no darkness at all. Let's go to John chapter number 3 quickly this evening and consider Jesus, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's important to understand what we mean by God is light. God is light. John chapter 3, verse number 18. And we'll read down a little bit further from 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And he goes on to explain, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And the light of Jesus Christ, the holiness and righteousness of Christ, reflected upon a sin-cursed world and brought to light the very darkness that was in their hearts, brought to light the very filth and disgrace of the human heart. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We see here that light is this holy, in a moral sense, is holiness and godliness and righteousness, which was reflected in the life of Jesus Christ. Our God is light. We need to really get a hold of that truth and understand that he is light. And John begins this part of the chapter with declaring that God is light. In Psalms 36 verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift that perfect is cometh from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our God is light. And this is a very important attribute and characteristic of God that we must understand if we ought to have fellowship with him. That God is light. And if we would understand that he is light, we would conclude with John at the end part of that verse there, and in him is no darkness at all. If God is light, if God is holy, if God is pure, if God is righteous as the scripture declares it to be, therefore we can conclude that in God there is no darkness at all. Not at all. You won't find a speck of darkness in God, for he is light. He is the essence of holiness and godliness and righteousness, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the God with whom we have fellowship. That's the God with whom we have fellowship. And then understanding that God is light, there are things that can hinder us from keeping that sweet fellowship with God. And it begins there in verse number 6. We'll have a look at the three claims from verse 6, 8 and 10. There are three claims here. And it looks there, it all begins, if you look at verse 6, if we say, verse number 8, if we say, verse number 10, if we say. So there's some things that if we should say these things, three, make these claims, we're going to see that there are some, these are the three hindrances that are to our fellowship. But not only if we say, we also see some helps to fellowship. And I believe John lays them out, here's a hindrance to our fellowship, but this is something that's going to help us to get back in fellowship with God. These are hindrances to our fellowship, but there are some things that are going to help us to keep on having fellowship with God. Because John wants them to have fellowship with the God who is light. And that should be our desire for one another and for ourselves, that we would have fellowship with God, who is light. Let's look at the first claim of this evening in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now this is a declaration of communion with God as we looked at fellowship this morning. Now can I just say there's nothing wrong with this statement in and of itself if we should say that we have fellowship with him. I mean, John says it in verse number 3. John says it in verse number 3 that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There was no problem in making the claim to have fellowship with God. That's not where the issue lies in his claim. But he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. We can acknowledge that, yes, we are in fellowship with God, and there's no problem with that. But when our feet don't match our talk, as it were, if our walk is not matching our talk, then there's a problem here. And this is what John is bringing to light. Yes, declare you have fellowship with God. I'm not saying that's the issue here. But truly, if our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and God is light, then we can't walk in darkness if we claim that we have fellowship with him. And this is where we see the contradiction, as it were, of the Christian, where they may claim that we have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. And walking in darkness refers to a habitual practice of walking in a way that is displeasing to God. We all go through our different struggles from day to day, and we confess our sins, and he forgives us our sins, and we continue in fellowship with God. But this is talking about habitual walking in darkness and conducting our lives in darkness. And if we would declare that we have fellowship with God, yet walk in a way of darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And here he challenges these people here. Some have suggested even that the Gnostics were of the impression that, as we've looked at this morning, that they could have been guilty of basically saying that you could be righteous yet walk in unrighteousness. Because, you know, what you did with the body didn't matter, as long as the spirit is all that matters, which is always good. And this is something that could have been being addressed in this specific verse. But it's important that we understand that when we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, this is where the problem lies. And John deals with this in a different kind of sense there in chapter number 3, verse 18. We look at this kind of principle here from the area of love. In verse number 18 of chapter 3, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, "I love you." There's nothing wrong with declaring that statement, but if there is no deed behind the statement, if there's no practice behind it, we lie and do not the truth. And the same principle, I guess, in a sense, is there in concerning our love. And if we love one another, it should be the evidence of the fruit of that love. And so here, if we say that we have fellowship with God, who is light, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In essence, that lie is simply the lie of hypocrisy. We say that we have fellowship with God, but when people view our lives and God views our lives, he sees that our walk is not the walk of God, not the ways of God, not the path of God, but we are walking in darkness and walking in the paths that displease God. So it's a silly thing, I guess, in a sense, to declare fellowship with God, or better yet, should I say, not so much a silly thing, but it's a sad thing to declare fellowship with God when we are walking in darkness. That's a lie. It's a lie to basically declare something and not actually live it out. And we make statements like that all the time. "I'm saved." That's great. What were you saved from? Were you saved from lying and bitterness and anger and disobedience to your parents? Were you saved from alcohol and were you saved from all these sins? What did you get saved from? "I'm saved." That's the declaration that I'm a new creature in Christ. But then how does the lie match the statement? Same kind of a thing. Or do we lie and do not the truth? And in a similar thing, we can declare that I walk with God. Well, where are you walking with God to? To the local pub? Are you walking with God down to the, to the party and to the nightclub? Is it walking with God where? How? What's happening? Why the statement that I have fellowship with God, but my feet are walking in another direction? And that's going to be a serious problem with many of God's people today, that we can be caught up in the statements, being in the faith long enough to declare these blessed truths, these wonderful truths, but our lives tell another story. And John very strongly here says we lie and practice not the truth when we do that. And that's important to acknowledge in our lives and to be, aware of. But look at the help to such a hindrance. And if we would claim fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we are hindered in our walk with God and our fellowship with God. But look at the help that he gives here. I think it's a simple and profound thing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I love how John doesn't say, in correcting this, he doesn't say, just stop saying you have fellowship with God. He's not saying change your speech, he's saying change your walk. Change your walk. You know, many of God's people are just happy to say that I'm just not walking with God. And just as long as they'll change their speech to match their life, but he's not saying that's the good enough response. But here's the response of fellowship. Those that want to have fellowship with God, a true fellowship with God, they will start to walk in the light. He doesn't say change your speech, he says change your walk. Let your walk match your words. Let your walk match your words. Don't change your words toward the way you're walking, as it were, but let your walk, your words match your walk, that you're living in the truth and in the light and fellowship with God. You start changing the path you're on. Start walking in habitual obedience to the Lord, and then your declaration of fellowship will be true. And that's how it ought to be. Not, oh, I'm not having fellowship with God. Just say, I need to start walking in the light and start walking in the light as he is in the light. And then we'll have fellowship one another. Then we'll have the common denominator. Then we'll have the common interest, and that fellowship will be restored and very sweet with our Lord. And not only that, we see the blessing of walking in the light. We have continual cleansing. And it says here in verse number 7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's continual cleansing. That's in the present tense. He cleanseth us. And cleanses us. You keep walking in the light, you're going to keep having cleansing. And I can just say something. When you start walking in obedience to God, there's something about your soul that was very clean. It was very clear channel of communication with God. When you're walking in the light, and every time your fellowship is hindered, you're making that right and walking in the light and walking in the light, there's this cleansing that takes place in our hearts. There's this purity of life and heart, and we become, as it were, we are children of light. But when we start walking in the light, we give evidence that we're children of light, and we also walk in purity, and we know the cleansing power of God in our lives. And that's important to note, because many of us maybe fail from time to time to understand the blessedness of walking in the light, that there's cleansing in the soul. I mean, I don't know, but from time to time you know when your soul's a little dirty, and then, you know, it needs a bit of washing, a bit of cleansing. But when you start walking in the light, you know that continual cleansing that Christ gives. And it's sweet, and it's beautiful, and it's precious. It's a clear conscience void of offense as we walk in the light of God. So God is light, and if we want to walk in darkness, we cannot declare fellowship with him. We need to be walking in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Would you note the second claim in verse number 8? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, in reference to the word no sin, this is referring to no sinful nature. This verse number 8 and verse number 10, one talks about acts of sin, the other talks about no sinful nature. And here it says here, if we say that we have no sin, referring to the sinful nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And this declaration, once again, from the Gnostic viewpoint, was basically saying that the soul could not be contaminated with sin because it's immaterial and physical is evil. The soul is not evil, therefore we have no sin nature. And that could be a conclusion that was drawn by that false teaching. And therefore, John, dealing with this, also declares that if we say that we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I love the word, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Why do you say we deceive others? Because I believe that if you think you have no sin nature, you'll be the only one deceiving yourself. I think, you know, for those of us that are married, we could just ask our wives or husbands if that's true, if we have no sin nature. It doesn't take long into your marriage to realize that we are just flesh and blood. It doesn't take long in any given relationship to realize that we are flesh and blood and that we are bent towards evil. But God's grace and mercy will be here, save us and cleanse us, gives us the victory that we can walk in the light, that we can obey Him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And we are, the works of Satan through the flesh and sin has been made inoperative, and you and I can live in spiritual victory. And the issue here is not to live in a way of defeat and say, if we say we have no sin, that means we just have to say we're always sinning every hour, every day. This is not what it's trying to say here. It's not a spiritual humility to say that I'm always sinning. No, God wants us to walk in victory. God wants us to walk in holiness. He wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light. So this is not what it's trying to say, but if we would deny who we really are, if we would deny who we are in our makeup, as it were, as flesh and blood, therefore we would deceive ourselves. Because many of God's people can forget who we are and therefore think that we are holy when we're not really holy, because we're walking, we're not understanding about our nature. And thus we can deceive ourselves. And this is the challenge here for us, is to consider and not to forget who we really are. I think from time to time it's always healthy for the child of God, and not even from time to time, but to walk in the understanding that I am a sinner saved by grace, and I know that with me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, as Paul said. And we need to realize that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And I know I've been saved by grace, and I know my heart has been washed and made clean, and I know that God will guide me despite my deceitful heart. He will lead me and show me the ways of righteousness. But we still need to understand that heart is still there. That tendency is still there. That nature has not left us. In glory, hallelujah, to change his vile body into that which is incorruptible. I'm looking forward to that day. But until then, we need to understand that I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Until that day, we need to understand that I find, as Paul said, a law that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. If you live in that reality, if you live in the understanding that within me and in my flesh was no good thing, do we live in the reality that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and we understand that in our fleshly nature that we have a tendency to often look at things through an imperfect viewpoint, do we realize that our hearts are naturally bent towards doing wrong? Because if we don't live understanding that about ourselves, we deceive ourselves. And that's a scary thing. And he still claims that the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. Now, when I first read that, I was like, what is he trying to say by this? I believe there's two possibilities to consider, and I'll just give you both of them, and you can see which one you believe would be more fitting to the chapter. But I believe both of these he is referring to. I believe that there is two things that he's referring to here, that the truth is not in us. In any given epistle, there is more than one audience. Majority of the audience is given to those that are believers in many of the epistles written to the church. But in any given church, there are false professors and those that profess to know Jesus but are truly not children of light, truly not children of God, truly don't have fellowship with God. So as we read any given epistle, we need to understand that there is almost like a one thing said, but it could mean one thing to one person, another to another person, depending on who they were in that audience. And the truth is not in us to someone who was a non-believer, perhaps some of the Gnostics that were in the church at the time and those that were amongst the believers there but were not saved. When he says that the truth is not in us, he could be in fact referring to the fact of the truth of the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ and the salvation of God. And the reason why he could be referring to that is because if we say that we have no sin nature, how is it that we can be saved? In a sense, he's trying to say this. If we can get to the point in our lives where we realize that we don't have any sin nature, well, wasn't that the fact that we knew that we were sinners that brought us to the Savior? Isn't that the very truth that led us to Christ, that I knew that I'm bent towards sin and all my attempts to please God were not acceptable to God and all my righteousnesses were at filthy rags? And isn't it that very truth that in me, my flesh was no good thing, that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that I need salvation and needed cleansing and needed salvation? And also for the true believer that perhaps is in that assembly, also I believe you could be referring to the fact that you deceive yourself and the truth is not in us. in the sense that the truth concerning God's word about who we really are is not in you. You know, many of God's people can be taught the truth of God's word, but in reality, we have lost sight of some of those truths. And therefore, that truth is not in us. The truth that we are sinners by nature is not in us. And that is possible too. There is, you know, even in our day to day, there are believers that, Christians that claim that you can reach a state where we have totally eradicated the sinful nature. In that they no longer can bug us and bother us, in the sense that no longer do we have that bend anymore. We reach a state of sinless perfection. And that is unbiblical. And this passage, in fact, deals with that that concept here also. That we really need to understand that we do have a sin nature. And it will be with us to the day we die. But we can walk in victory. And we must understand that about who we really are. So I guess the challenge for us in this passage is the understanding from this declaration is that if we would say that we have no sin, or get to the point where we start forgetting who we really are in our sinful nature, we've got to be careful. We'll start deceiving ourselves. And we'll be very soon out of fellowship with God and need to be coming back into fellowship with Him and being in communion with Him. Let's look at the last one there in verse number 10. And I believe verse number 9, you know, is a help for both of those claims. Let's look at verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The third claim, have not sinned, is in reference to committing acts of sin. It's in the perfect tense again. And basically it's saying that we have not committed any acts of sin, and we remain in a state where we have not committed sin. And this is a declaration of forgetting not so much who we are, but forgetting what we have done, and not knowing and acknowledging what we have committed and how we have violated God's word. Now, I want to just say something here. If we look at the three claims, the first one, it says at the end of there, we walk in darkness and do not the truth. Sorry, it says we lie, walk in darkness, fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if you look at verse number 8, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we look at verse number 10, it's the strongest, I believe it's the strongest, offense to God to say such a thing. Look what it says, we make Him a liar. I mean, I cannot get any more harsh, or how could I can't even think of a word to use, but it cannot get any more worse than that to say that God is a liar. We make God out to be a liar when we declare that we have not committed acts of sin against Him. That is scary. To get to that point where it would be a declaration that God is a liar by our lives. So it's not just we lie, it's not just we deceive ourselves, but all these these claims, it gets to the point here, it says we make Him a liar. That's a massive statement here that the Bible's claiming. Why do we make Him a liar? Well, look at Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do we make Him a liar? Well, there is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If I say that I have no sin, I make Him a liar. God is declaring in His word time and time again. In fact, the whole Bible, from the beginning of Genesis, from the fall, all the way to the book of Revelation, is the declaration of man not able, unable to please God, and therefore God makes a provision, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if someone would read the scriptures and look at the word of God and understand the body of God's truth here laid out in the scriptures and claim that we have not sinned, you are making Him a liar. You're basically saying that this book right here that declares that man has sinned from the beginning and has sinned all the way, even in the book of Revelation, they shake their fist at God during the tribulation there and curse God. And the sin of man right to the end is there until we get to glory. We make Him a liar. Why? Because the whole Bible is about man's sinfulness and disobedience against God and God's love and mercy and provision to him. And that's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In every given dispensation, we see this very truth, that God had an economy for man to work in, but man stuffed it up. Over in the garden, it was beautiful. It was a perfect place. Man stuffed it up. You know, even with the government and under the law, man stuffed it up. Even under grace, man stuffs it up. And that's the reality of the whole scriptures, right from the beginning to the end, that God has given man a dispensation or an economy to work with, where he has ruled with them in a certain manner, but man has stuffed it up, and man has failed God, and man has sinned. So to say that we have not sinned, not only we lie, not only we deceive ourselves, but we make God a liar. That is a scary claim. And many unbelievers today will make this claim, they have not sinned. Many unbelievers today that you speak to, are you a sinner? No, I've never committed sin. Hang on a minute, what do you mean you haven't sinned? No, I've always done that. They don't see their sin for what it is. They deceive themselves, and most of all, they make God a liar when they declare such a statement, which is not true. But I would say, and I pray that you would say with me, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. I know that in light of this book, sometimes, or not even sometimes, it shows us who we really are and how small we really are and how sinful we really are. And in a sense, in our pride of heart and in our humanistic outlook upon life, which is we've been corrupted in our own minds, we naturally try to feel that that's not very true about who we are. You know, I'm better than that. I can see that in the Bible, but it's not really for me. We naturally do that. Let's not make God a liar. Submit ourselves to what God says about us and understand that we are sinners. And understand that we have not only offended Him in our nature, we've sinned against Him, but we've actually committed acts of sin against the Holy God. And therefore, His Word is not in us. We are ignorant of His Word. God's Word, when it abides in you, you know that you're a sinner. When God's words abide in you, you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As God's word abides in you, and this very truth and revelation of God enters into the heart and soul of a man or a woman, they understand that we are all falling short of the glory of God. And that's what causes us to bow in humility before Jesus Christ our Lord and thank Him for that gift of salvation. But if ever our hearts will be lifted up, ever with pride, we would not see ourselves for who we are in our sin nature, neither would we see ourselves in our acts of sin. We would make God a liar, we would deceive ourselves, and we would destroy our fellowship with God. You know, the more you understand who you are and what you've done wrong, and the more you understand about who God is, that He is life, you will have better fellowship with God. Some people say the closer you get to God, the more you realize how sinful you are. Why? Because you're approaching the light. And I was reading the life of David Brainerd, I think over a year ago now. And as I was reading his life, I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? I'm reading it, and he's talking about his sinfulness and the wretchedness of his flesh and of his self and how he's a sinner, and he's talking about all these things and how God has been so merciful to him. And he goes on and on, but it's almost every one of his diary entries, he's really understanding who he is and who God is. And you know what? He was a man that walked with God. He was a man that knew God in a very special way, and God used him in great revivals over there and in the Indians in America. And I'm thinking to myself, what is it about him? He's a man that communed with God. And as we draw closer to the light, we see more of who we are and realize that we are sinners saved by the grace of God. If ever our hearts will be lifted up with pride, not remembering who we are and what we've done, we need to start approaching that light and say, Lord, let me just read about what your word says about me. Lord, give me more of your word to abide in me. Maybe I need to start memorizing verses about who I am, who you say I am, Lord. I know who I think I am, but who I think I am is not really who I am. Lord, what you actually say about me is who I really am. And that's what we have to get to come to grips with, because many a times we don't consider ourselves in light of the truth of God's word. So what help do we have for these hindrances, these last two? Verse number 9 is precious. Verse number 9 is precious. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I don't see myself as having a sinful nature, and if I don't see myself as committing acts of sin, it's time to get confessing. Maybe it's been a long time before I confess my sin. Maybe it's been a while before I agreed with God. That's what the word means. Homo logeo. Logeo to say, and homo the same. To say the same thing as God. That's what it means to confess. The truth, that's what the word means. Homo logeo. To say the same. And when you confess your sin, all you're basically saying is, God, I agree with you. I've sinned against you. God already knows it. We deceive ourselves many a time to think that we're hiding it from God. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, they thought they could just run and hide themselves. Put fig leaves on to cover their nakedness and shame. But God was not fooled by that. He knows all things. All they had to do was confess. Agree with God. We shouldn't have done that, Lord. I was wrong to go to that place. I was wrong to watch that. I was wrong to listen and entertain that in my life. Lord, I was wrong. I was wrong. Forgive me, O God. But God forbid, lest we ever deny our sinful nature and think that we haven't committed acts of sin that will hinder our fellowship with God. And we've got to get back to confessing. Daily confession of our sin and about our helplessness before a holy God who is light. If we confess our sins, if we would just agree with God, say the same as God, and we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that beautiful? God is faithful. He is so faithful. As faithful as the sun would rise and set, as faithful as everything in creation that you see works and moves and has its being, God, as faithful as everything in life works out as God has prepared it, so when you look at His faithfulness, remember that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many of God's people almost feel like they can't approach God about their sin. They try and cover their sin simply because they have a wrong view of God about what He's going to do in response to what they've done wrong. But the best thing we can do to have fellowship with God is to agree with Him. And come before Him and say, Lord, I did wrong. I wronged You here, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. My attitude was no good today, Lord. Forgive me for that. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let it go on to the night. Don't let it go on to the next week. Don't let it go on to the next day. Get it right today. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. I agree with You that I've done wrong. Cleanse me. According to Thy word, and the Bible is very clear that He's faithful and just. God is righteous. And He's faithful to always fulfill what He has promised to do, and that's to cleanse our sin when we confess our sin to Him. See, the word if, it's a condition that if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are three areas where we can find hindrances in our fellowship to God. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. We have a duty to walk in the light. But as you walk in the light and you find yourself veering off, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you've done. And remember that if you're saying you have in fellowship with God, don't just say it. Walk in fellowship with Him. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And let your statement, let your feet match your work, your walk, your talk as it were. And walk in the light as He is in the light. I know, I thank God that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And I know that's a very confronting truth sometimes, but I'm glad for it. God is light. He always does that which is right. God was not perfect and holy. How could we ever trust Him? How could we ever depend on Him? How could I ever come to Him with my sin if I know that He's not righteous and He's holy completely? That's why we don't confess to man, by the way. And they need to confess to God. So God, who is light and who is holy, we come to Him. And we're going to come to the light and walk in the light. So maybe in your heart, God's spoken to your heart about some areas of hindrances to fellowship with Him. Make it right. Don't wait for next week to start walking in the light. Don't even change your speech. Just change your action. Just get up and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to walk today. You know, faithful is He that calls you also will do it. God will lift you up. It is God which worketh in you both the willing to do of His good pleasure. Just abide in Him. Walk with Him. And confess your sins to Him. Don't be afraid to come to the Lord. He will faithful and just to forgive your sins. Let's bow in a word of prayer. And we'll just close with a song.